Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply. Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
This episode is brought to you by Cuts Clothing. All right, Del, well, welcome to Mindset. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I have a growth mindset ready to go.
It's going to be a great chat.
Honestly, I love listening to like your podcast. You know, the first one I really listened to was that Justin Ireland one, sort of about how what he went through, and you know, I've been loving it. So, no, I'm a bit nervous, but I am excited.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to have you on here and share some of your knowledge because I know you have a lot of it. Yeah. We've spent a lot of time at Bronx, but you know, a lot more time in the sauna, and we've shared a lot of growth mindsets in there. And you know, I wanted to extract some of that and show it to you know some kids that can benefit from it. You know, obviously, and I know you work in schools, and you know, a lot of kids have come to you for help, and you've been able to mentor them. So I'm interested to find out what some of those conversations look like and how we can, you know, get some good stuff out there. But firstly, you've just signed a 2-year deal with the Broncos. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How does that feel?
No, you know, it's amazing. You know, like I spent 7 years thinking that I was good enough to be in the NRL but never being able to play just with the circumstance that I was in. And, you know, just to be able to get a training trial was massive for me. And then, you know, to go from a training trial top 30 to play games and then now, you know, extended for another 2 years, probably like, you know, a dream come true. And like I didn't have the best path to this contract, but and the path that I probably would have wanted to, but you know, like I wouldn't change anything because now, you know, I'm sitting here better off, you know, I'm a better person for it. So being able to extend with the club, you know, and to meet guys like, you know, yourself and, you know, other people that have been really, you know, helpful to me is, you know, has been massive. So I'm like, I'm truly grateful. And a lot of people say that, but I really am.
Well, I'm pretty happy for you because I know how hard you work at training and, you know, it's not an easy thing to, you know, keep fighting for that dream and going after it. And I know that you've gone through a lot to get to this stage. I think it was something like you said 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years.
In I between think first grade games. So.
Yeah, I think someone said like 2,000, like 400 something days that it was since my last game. So.
And I'm sure you've learned a lot about yourself in between that period. Before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing? Yeah. And what that was like?
Yeah, so I started off in Tonga. So I was born in Tonga, in Tongatapu. And I have three sisters, two brothers. I lived in Tonga. I lived in Tonga until I was six, and then I moved over to New Zealand. I can't really remember much of my time in Tonga. I see a lot of photos and stuff like that, and but I can't really remember my time in Tonga, and then moved over to New Zealand, and I lived there until I was 17. So my upbringing in New Zealand was really good. You know, I didn't have everything, you know, that I wanted as a kid, but you know, I started playing soccer, and you know, my dad would work a lot more hours, so then he was able to purchase me some boots, and like, you know, they weren't the best boots, but you know, I was just grateful that I was able to you know, have boots to play soccer. And then I went from soccer to, you know, basketball, and then basketball to rugby union to rugby league. So rugby league was the last sport that I actually got into when I was like 16. It wasn't really a tough sort of upbringing. There's a lot of people that had a harder time growing up around me, but you know, I had guys like my older brother Tony that really, it was more like he held me accountable, you know what I mean. I had a lot of friends my age that hung around with the wrong people, and he would always tell me, you know, make sure I don't see you with these guys outside of school, because they went to the same school as me and they were hanging around the wrong crowd. And they're like, he was like, you know, make sure I don't see around these guys, because I know what they're like. You got a better life ahead of you, you know, than these guys. So it was more
keep you on the right path.
Yeah, it was more out of fear. Yeah. You know, I was scared. I was just scared that, you know, I didn't want to let them down. I hate letting people down, disappointing people, even now, you know. And I've gotten better with, you know, picking and choosing, you know, the people I let down. Because, you know, sometimes it's for the best, because, you know, you're either heading down the wrong path, or they're leading you down the wrong path. And sometimes you got to let go of that. And, you know, it is disappointing to let some really close friends go. But, you know, he just held me accountable. You know, growing up, my dad gave me whatever he could. You know, he worked hard. But my mum as well, you know. My mum actually taught me how hard work looks like. And I remember your podcast, speaking with Justin Olam, and, you know, you speak about how hard your family worked, you know, and that taught you about that. That taught you how, what it looked like. And, you know, my mum, she didn't speak any English really when we moved over to New Zealand, didn't have a qualification. She used to, you know, stay home, clean the house, you know, do stuff at home, and everyone else went out and worked. So she sort of came over to New Zealand with no qualifications, you know, didn't know what to do, still doesn't have a driver's license. So she was, you know, sort of had nothing. And now she's, you know, she's working at this, she's a manager at Gilmore's, and, you know, she's done a few courses. And my dad sent me a photo probably like this year, you know, with the certificate she had. And, you know, she gets embarrassed, but I said, like, Mum, you always work hard. Like, you deserve all these things that you get given. So yeah, my mum and dad just taught me about hard work. But you know, you don't really realize it. Like, I was 15, 16, you know, I moved over here on my own, and sort of didn't look at it in a different perspective. I was just thinking, oh, okay, like, they're always just going to be like that. Like, my mum's always been like that. Like, you know, I sort of got stuck in a sort of, like, different environment when I came over here. You know, I sort of, like, lost myself, I think, just because I moved away by myself and, you know, thought I was this big footy player. But, like, really, I only came over to Kibra Park on a scholarship, you know. And then luckily I signed with the under-20s. But if that didn't happen, I'd probably be back in New Zealand. So
what was that move like at 15, 16? I'd imagine you would have been pretty nervous.
Yeah.
Well, a few challenges along the way as well.
Yeah. The biggest challenge, and I still have it now, is just being away from my family, you know. Like, I still haven't seen my family since this, you know, since COVID started. And, like, that's hard for me. But it was just not being around my family was the hardest. And, like, you know, I had to be independent straight away because I moved over and I was living with my – I actually never met my family before, but you know what it's like. My mom was like, yeah, I have some family in Brisbane. Yeah. You go live with them. And I was living in Cooper's Plains. And I think that's why also, like, you know, that dedication and started – that dedication and resilience really started, you know, sort of when I first moved over because, you know, I had to get up sometimes at – like 5 o'clock, and now, you know, that's normal as a parent, but I was getting up at 5 o'clock, getting ready for school. I had to walk to the station, catch the train, then catch the bus, you know, and a lot of people do that, but, you know, I think that really helped me, you know, to get in a good habit. But there were times when I was like, you know, like, oh, what am I doing here? Sort of doubting myself. And, you know, my dad will always say, you know, just keep your wits about you, you know, stay strong, like, you know, you're good enough and there's a reason why you're there. You just have to stick at it. And the hardest part was just missing home, you know, and always doubting myself. And doubt's massive and it still plays a part in my life now. Sometimes I doubt myself and I say, oh, like, you know, do I really want to do that? But, like, you know, sometimes you just got to, like, take that first step.
Yeah. Was there anything that you found helping you move from, I know you had some family over here, you didn't know, but that certainly would have helped.
Yeah.
Coming from New Zealand to Australia, and I know a lot of guys come from PNG to Australia.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get some tips on for them to how to make that as smooth as possible or as, you know, enhance that move. Is there any advice you have for 16-year-old coming to Australia, what to expect and how to approach it?
What I always told myself was that, you know, ask the question, why did I move here? You know, did I move here to become a famous, massive football player? Like, or did I move here to make a better life for myself and for my family? And I always remembered that, you know, why did I move here? And that's some of the conversations I'd have with my dad, which I didn't have many with my dad, like really talking about like struggling and finding it hard. But I think you got to remind yourself why you came over here, you know. I used to focus just on footy. Like, I came here for the sole purpose of becoming a football player. But that's how it started. But, you know, looking back now, I probably could have taken a bit more advantage of the extra things that come with football. You know, like now that I'm, you know, older, I'm looking at education, you know, being so important. And I think I should have used football to better myself in different ways rather than just with football.
Yeah.
You know, I really should have done that a little bit earlier, but now I'm sort of doing that now. And I'm just lucky that I have the opportunity now extending, you know.
Two things that come to mind for me, and you said education and sport.
Yeah.
I try to promote that as much as I can, you know, reading books.
Yeah.
Going to school, doing a course. I think everyone always feels like, man, I wish I did that back then, you know. I certainly do now. About courses and stuff like that, but probably 10 years time I'll probably look back and say I wish I did it when I was 33. And so I kind of think of it like that, you know, I guess feel better or let myself know that there's time. But in terms of a 16-year-old coming here, isn't it better just for them just to jump straight into their education and sport rather than wait a couple of years and then realize like us, man, I wish I did that when I first moved in. Because someone like Justin, he's finished his uni degree before he started playing rugby.
I remember hearing him speak about it. He finished it when he was in Papua New Guinea, right?
So he'd already had a uni degree.
And that's like massive. Like even my little sister's partner, Toff Sipley, you know, he finishes. He's a qualified like teacher now, and he's finished it. And now all he's doing is playing footy. And when he finishes footy, he might not do that, but you know what I mean? He has the opportunity and the ability to do that. And for us two, our biggest, I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but my biggest motivation is in 4 years' time, like my family is going to be better off and that's my motivation, you know what I mean? Talking from the perspective of a father. But the 16-year-olds, you know, they don't realize if they play football for, you know, eight years, let's say, they could do so much within that 8 years, not even a degree. It can be different, like it can be a license to, you know, drive a forklift or, you know, to drive a heavy rig truck, like, you know, it's just all these little things that get paid through the NRL.
Yeah.
That really, like, if we don't use that money, like, we, that's gone. You know, we can't get that money back until the next year where it might be in your contract or
yeah.
The thing is just jump in. If you fail, at least you know, like, you know, why did I fail?
Yeah.
Did I fail because I like to push everything to the last minute, procrastinate, and it's too late, you know? And
yeah.
That's when you got to go, okay, I got to learn and be better.
There's a lot of benefits that come through, you know, education, learning something else. You realize that, you know, if you commit to something and you finish it, you're capable of doing that.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, companies that are CEOs, you know, bosses, executives I speak to now, yeah, they'll hire you on the skill, but they'll also look at the commitment that you've shown over a long period of time to get things done.
Yeah.
And they'll, that's a skill in itself too.
Yeah. And you see even Carl Morris, who spoke to us, you know, he's speaking about the he's doing a course himself now, and yeah. he's, you know, he's talking about millions and millions of dollars that he –
And Carl, Carl's the chairman of the Broncos.
Yeah.
He's been in his 50s, 60s now.
Yeah.
He's always doing courses, education.
Yeah. And I know it's different, you know, financially. He has the ability to do these things, but
– The NRL, I mean, NRL supports
– Yeah, for sure. Being in the NRL, they support you, you know, doing some sort of educational study or something to do with that. So, you know, they should just make the most out of it and look at the big picture rather than just football, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's sort of hard because I know when I moved over, we have that idea that we wanna pay back our parents, you know, a lot of Polynesian kids. And I had that in the back of my mind, like, I want to give back to my parents. And that one way of doing that was through football. And when I came over here, it was just football was the biggest.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
This thing in my life, you know, it's just footy, trying to repay my mum and dad for, you know, what they gave, the opportunity they gave me moving from Tonga to New Zealand. And then now they're supporting me from, you know, moving from New Zealand to Australia. So, yeah, that whole message of trying to give back to my parents sort of, you know, just focused me on just football. But there's so many other ways that you can.
Yeah,
you
know, there's definitely other ways you can give back out as well.
If your parents look at you when you're older and, you know, see that, you're not a football player anymore and you achieved those things, but there's so many other things you achieved as well away yeah. from football. You know, like, your parents are just going to be just as proud or even more proud of, you know, your accomplishments.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about this because, you know, a lot of the number of Polynesians in the games now are close to 50%. Mm. And we talk about the well-being space and a lot of, you know, the guys always want to help out their families as well. But with that comes a bit of pressure sometimes. I don't know if you've experienced it, but I've experienced it myself throughout my career of, you know, I guess trying to get a understanding from family's perspective on both sides as a player and, you know, the family side as well. Yeah. Trying to, you know, I guess alleviate a bit of the pressure that's put on especially the young guys coming through because they're still trying to make their way into the game and not necessarily making, you know, a lot of money, but they get a lot of heat put on them about, you know, helping out with family situations. And the boys, they want to help out the families. Yeah. There's no doubt. But it also comes at, you know, the cost of the players' well-being sometimes because they're under the pump from the family, the coach.
Yeah.
They need to perform and train better. And then, you know, learning how to manage that is, it's a real thing.
Yeah, and
real
thing that happens. And then, like, it makes them feel isolated sometimes, you know. You feel everyone pulling you in every direction, whether it's your family, you know, if you're a father, you know, the responsibility of being a father, the responsibility of, you know, trying to put your best foot forward at footy. Like, you understand these things. There's so many people trying to pull you every direction, and you just feel like, you know, the one thing that's going to give is yourself. You know what I mean? Like, but we've seen it, you know, like the last few months have been pretty tough in the football community. Like, sometimes it can feel isolating, you know?
Yeah.
You have so many people around you, but you feel like no one's got you.
I feel like, because I think there's a high rate of this, you know, suicide in young males, particularly Polynesian males as well.
Yeah.
I mean, males in society in general, but I have a lot of understanding with our cultures because there's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah.
And my assumption, it's only an assumption based off, you know, a bit of experience and people I talk to, there's a lot of pressure on a young athlete trying to make it in Australia. And as you said, you're pulled in all different directions, and the most common thing is you feel isolated.
Yeah.
And there is help available, but and the help there is speaking to someone else who understands a similar situation.
Yeah.
So I think for, you know, young guys who experience that type of pressure, I know I've, you know, a little bit off topic, I've come to you for help, you know, this year around injuries and, you know, pressure and stuff like that. That's certainly helped.
Yeah.
Chatting to you.
And see, it was easy as that. Like, I think I went up to do a uni thing, you know, and I knew that you got hurt, and also I just could tell, you know, you weren't yourself. And, like, all I did was pop into that room and was like, you know, everything's sweet. And all it was like, what, 5-10 minute conversation? Mm. And, you know, not saying it, you know, change the, you know, your whole perspective and everything like that. But, you know, that could have just been a little bit of weight you needed off your shoulders.
Yeah. So that was
10-minute conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That was me feeling frustrated from injured.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about retirement, you know, not playing first grade. And, you know, all these things that are built up and they can affect your emotion. And, like, obviously guys pick up on it.
Yeah.
And I was lucky that you picked up on it and just came and asked me a question. But the key thing there is just being honest and a bit vulnerable, because I could have just said, nah, I'm all good, man, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
But when I did speak to you, I felt like it was a huge weight off my shoulders. Yeah. That was 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, that example that you just made there is the reason why your kids are going to be better off, you know what I mean? Because, you know, speaking to you about all these things, like, and it wasn't just that one time, like throughout the whole year, you know, would always speak, whether it was in the sauna or, you know.
Plenty of sauna. A bunch of guys in there sweating and being vulnerable.
Talking crap. But no, it's that vulnerability. And I think it was because throughout the year, as we were speaking, it would speak about anything, but there were moments where I'd speak to you about it and your interaction actually made me feel okay to be able to, like, ask you, because you were being vulnerable at times, like, you know, not massively, but there would be things you'd say and, you know, we'll talk about the way you speak and show your emotions to your kids, you know. And I said, mate, like, you know, I don't know if you were shown that when you were younger, but, you know, you showing that to your kids is going to be the reason why they're going to be able to express it, you know. And being boys, it's hard. Like, working at that school, a lot of the reasons why those boys were in trouble that I was helping out was because they were physically, you know, like, either they would push someone or, you know, they might trip someone up or they might have a fight. And the reason for that is because they can't actually express their feelings, you know, normally. And for myself, like, I was lucky. I never had that pressure from my parents to be able to, like, oh, you know, we need money. Like, my mum and dad have been, like, amazing like that. And if I give something back to them, like, you know, I'd give them old gear. When I played for Tonga, I gave them Tongan stuff. And, you know, that's when they were their proudest, you know. Like, playing for Tonga was the pinnacle for my family and my mum and dad. So I was lucky to not have that pressure. But I know that it, I know that it's out there. And the way that my dad would speak to me, you know, he would always speak to me in a way where I knew that the message that he felt came across, but also he allowed me to speak as well. And I've been in that environment with, you know, some of my family interactions where, like, you can't speak and you just have to, you know, you have to listen. You know, if you're doing something wrong, they're going to tell you, and you, all you have to do is listen and, you know, do what you do, what needs to be done. You know, either if you need to change what you're doing or, you know, hang around different people.
But why do you feel like you can't speak?
Oh, no, this is when I was younger. Like, there were times where I would have a moment where we'd go and share, like, have a prayer with my my cousins who live next door, you know. I'd go over there, we'll sit in the circle, and literally my Loti Lahi, which was, like, my mum's mum, she would sit there and just point out, like, you need to do this better. You need to, and we're sitting there, like, all right, like, just nodding our head. I'm like, okay, sorry. I just came to eat, but but okay. But here I am now getting told that I'm not doing the right things. But, you know, like, I was 12, 13. Yeah, and because they're because they're older than me, you know, that, like, she's my elder, my mum's mum, Loti Lahi, like, I'd just have to sit there and, like, yes, 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 Loti Lahi. And, you know, those were the moments I knew I can't say anything. I just, you know, they're older than me, or my uncle will tell me off because I'm doing something at, like, a funeral or something. And
they're probably trying to teach you.
Yeah, trying to teach me a lesson. And that's good, you know, and being respectful. You know, you guys spoke about it. You know, being respectful is massive, you know, just with anything. Not even with Polynesian culture, which is massive for us in our culture. But, I mean, respect is everything. And I think that's why... You know, like, I respect you a lot, you know, and a lot of other people at the club. That's why, you know, I try and put myself out there to boys because, you know, I don't want them to feel like they can't speak. And sometimes it's even a text, you know, and a text that you didn't expect getting. And I try and do that more so than, especially guys that I feel like tend to push things away and sort of hide it and... you know, the last thing I want to do is have it consume them. So,
I think
like in an unexpected one, you know.
Yeah, I'm doing this elite athlete wellbeing course, and a lot of this stuff's coming up because obviously I'll have to. I'm going to that workspace dealing with guys who are just trying to look after their wellbeing. And it ties in a lot with stuff with the podcast and my experience, and you know, and one of the things I saw in the course was, you know, how do you look after a player emotionally, in their mental well-being. And a couple of things, like light bulb moments where, you know, a lot of the times it's something to do with their family. It's off, and then their behavior is a bit off, or, you know, there is performance that's got to do with it. There's pressure there. But if something's wrong at home, it'll show more often than having a bad game, bad training session. And that stuff leads to, you know, not doing all the little things right, not getting your prep right. So that's the reason I want to address the relationship side of this, the player's well-being. Because I think it's an important part of playing professional sport at this level. I think if you can look after that side of it, it'll take care of the 50% of it. The other 50% is playing performance.
And, like, I don't know. I think it's that relationship, and if, like you said, that relationship, and if you do really care about your teammates and you really want to make a difference, you will catch on to little things that you're like, oh, they're not being themselves. Like, even if it's the way they respond to you, you know, like, or if they're fast to deny it or anything like that. And sometimes people don't want to be confronted face to face, and that's why sometimes I just think, you know, a text saying, hey, like, I could tell that something was up, like, I hope you're doing all right, and, you know, I'm always here to chat. That's enough sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you can give all the support to that person, and if they don't want that support, like, it's you know,
out of your control.
Yeah, it's out of your control. But the last thing, the one thing you want to do is be like, I reached my hand out.
Yeah.
And they decided that they didn't want to, you know.
Yeah.
Have that hand up. Yeah. So.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's that's the only thing with me. At least I tried.
Yeah.
And that's what I always think about.
That's all you can do, really.
Yeah. And it takes 10 seconds, you know.
Yeah. Hey, guys, just going to take a quick break from this episode. I want to mention Cuts Clothing. They've been a sponsor of mine for a couple of months now, and now they're sponsoring the episode. So I just want to talk a little bit about them. So these guys make elite apparel for the modern professional. As you can see, I've got the polo on, the cap. I enjoy wearing them every day, and I like to put myself in that modern professional category. And so every Cut shirt is designed to provide a perfectly tailored fit. Plus, Cuts has all the essentials for looking sharp, like tees, polos, caps, hoodies, and more, so you can look and feel good no matter what the occasion is. Now, I wouldn't say I know too much about fashion, but one thing I do know is that Cuts have mastered the art and science of perfecting the men's tees. I wear these shirts for meetings, podcasting, catching up with friends at a cafe or a restaurant, or just when I'm at home spending time with my family. And because you guys are mindset listeners, Cuts have allowed me to give you guys 15% off your total order. Head to cutsclothing.com, that's CUTSclothing.com, and enter DavidMead15 at checkout. All right, let's get back into the episode. I want to go back to your 7 years in between playing first grade.
Yeah.
During those 7 years, did you ever think you would play first grade again? I know you played a lot of Queensland Cup games. Did you always have that dream to want to keep playing?
Yeah.
And get a first grade contract?
Yeah. Well, the thing that made me know I was good enough to play in the NRL at times was like, you know, being in Queensland Cup for so long, I was playing with and against players that I would see, you know, getting caught up to NRL or, you know, they might play 10 games that year and then be dropped back down to the finals. And, you know, I always competed well against them. And I'm like, you know, why, you know, I know that there was different situations that just didn't work for me. But I was like, why am I just, you know, not getting that one opportunity? And the drive was always there. And I think the end of 2018, because that was probably the heaviest I ever was, 2018, and I was really lazy and I didn't really, I wasn't really happy. I didn't really enjoy footy in 2018. Sort of umming and ahhing about just, you know, working full time and, you know, not really taking that time away from my family, having to go train 3 or 4 times a week. And I just said, if I'm going to give this one more go, I want to, you know, dedicate as much time as I can to training without compromising the time with my family, you know, because that was the most important thing to me.
You got work, training, family.
That's what.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
My routine, you know, work, work, family, train. And I was training with, you know, Doc, Ed Burns probably 3 or 4 times a week during that off-season 2018. And, you know, a lot of people I offered a lot of guys to come and train with us because I had a friend, Mark Skelton. He had a gym at the time, the Fieldhouse, and he offered that space up for us and he would train us, speed, gym. And I think that just ignited that motivation that I knew I was good enough, but this is what I needed to do, you know, to be there. So ever since the end of 2018, I'd always train with them during the off season. And I think that really set me up for the training trial the end of last year.
Yep.
But yeah, the motivation was always there. It's just, I just needed to pick up my slack after 2018
because
it wasn't up to par that 2018 season.
I'm a big fan of putting good habits into training at home, in, you know, your workplace. we'll get to the good stuff after.
Mm.
What are some bad habits that you've got that you had that affected your training?
Well, eating, what I ate was terrible. Especially that 2017-18 year, I'd literally eat anything. I was having like a can of Coke a day. And, you know, the eating side of it, I didn't really like look as a way that it benefited me. I just thought, like, if I can eat like this and play good, that, like, that doesn't matter.
You know, right, yeah.
I'll just do that. That would be one of it. And also, like I said, like, doubting myself and not really backing myself. Like, you know, a lot of guys that are now, you know, at the top, there's no doubt, you know. Like, if they – most of the time when they play, they just play what they see and they back themselves all the time. Mm. And sometimes it's not even, like, a playing thing. It's just in general. And that's that mindset, like, where if you are 50% in it, like, you're probably fall short.
It's not going to work out, yeah.
It's not going to work out.
Yeah.
So, like, deciding, like, making a decision – you know, and that's part of the doubt. Like, if you can't make a decision, it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
You know, and if I didn't make that decision to train, then I would have never been in the position to have this opportunity to train, you know, and now be with the Broncos. So, you know, a lot of it was umming and ahhing, not really knowing what I'm doing. And that doubt played a massive part. Even communication sometimes is a bad habit, a lack of, you know. Like, not being able to speak about how I'm feeling, you know, and I'll hold it in for 6 months and then, like, one day it'll all come out, and in a way where, you know, like, I'm not the type to drink, but, you know, there'll be times where I'll not talk about how I really felt, how footy was going, what was playing in my head, you know, the sort of things that I was saying to myself, which was a lot, some of the time, like, negative, you know, that I'm not good enough, and one time will come out, and it'll come out. I'll go out with some of the boys and get hammered, and the next day, you know, like, I'm just in bed regretting, like, going out and drinking with the boys, and, you know, like, that the lack of communicating, not getting my feelings out, led to this, you know, and that was a build up of six months, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, and the not being able to speak was a bad habit. Doubting myself was, you know, a bad habit, and what I was consuming, you know, eating and drinking was bad. Like, I was never one to really drink, but you know, like, this just a fizzy drink and eating terrible was one.
Yeah, they're just giving into your cravings at that point in time.
Yeah, not having that discipline, you know.
Yeah. I found that same too. It's normally the fuel that's going in your body,
yeah,
and the thoughts in your head,
yeah,
the doubt, and then obviously not expressing yourself. I think that's a challenge for me as well. It has been, and it's ongoing, but it's been a lot better, you know. Mm. Seeing a therapist helped.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you were my 5-minute therapist that fixed it. So,
well, even like your journaling, you know,
yeah, the that's journaling,
like getting it out of your brain. Like, you're not really communicating. Those things to a person, but you're getting it out of your head and on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And that's what I, you know, the first time that I actually ever did that properly was when I set my goals, when I got my training trial, I set my 3 goals that I wanted to make. And that was the first time I actually really did it. And I achieved 2 of the 3 of those goals. And, you know, I'm going to do that again. I don't do it all the time, like, as in, throughout the whole year, but there'll be moments like before season, halfway through the season, where I sat down and be like, okay, what are my goals? Where am I at? And if I find like that I'm struggling, I write down why. And, you know, I'm not like, obviously I communicate that with my partner. And anyone that I feel like I sort of have that message, you know, come across to them. But, you know, I definitely say it to my partner, but just writing it down sort of got it off my chest, you know, and got off my shoulders, and I felt better for it.
It literally feels like that too. Mm. When you write it, you actually feel like it's out of your head on paper, and you actually feel better. Mm. I mean, you did mention some good habits in there too. Mm. if there's one thing that you'd pass on to a 14-year-old who comes and asks you, how do I make it to the NRL? Is there anything that comes to mind for you that you'd pass on to a kid? Yeah, I'll give you top three things.
I mean, the first one that comes to mind is not taking anything for granted, you know? And there was when I was down at the Tigers, you know, I was hanging around guys who were a lot more, they had a high profile than I was. And, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I made it. And I'm only in the 20s, you know. I wasn't arrogant about it, but like, you know, being somewhere and they're like, oh, like, you know, there's Tedesco, there's Robbie Farah. And, you know, that feeling of people like knowing who you are. And I sort of felt like, oh man, this is what it's like. You know, and there was only certain parts of 20s, and I sort of think that there were moments that like I took for granted, and being in that position, because I went from under 20s, and I didn't make anything to debuting the year after, and I was almost going to debut round one against Titans, 2015, and. For me to do that, and then I was like, oh, this is what it's going to be like, you know? You know, I just, there were moments that I took it for granted and then it was gone. Mm. And I did it for a year in the NRL. I mean, as in I played and I was an NRL player for 1 year, and then after that it was gone for seven. And there were moments when I was like, oh, am I ever going to be back in the NRL? Seeing a lot of people debut, become, you know, really good players that I played with or that I was mates with. And, you know, I just didn't know if it was going to come back. And that's why when this came across with the trainer trial and, you know, that, I just said, I'm not going to take it for granted. You know, I'm going to do what I can, educational, like benefits for myself. You know, seeing the fans. I used to think, you know, you had to be guys like Thurston or you know, guys like that to make a difference, but you really don't. Mm. You know, you really don't. So I'm like, I'm just going to make the most of it. And if I end up getting another year or two in the NRL, then so be it. But at least I know that I put everything into it, training-wise, education-wise, and just trying to be a better person. So that would be my thing, like just not taking anything for granted.
Love that, Dil. And I've certainly witnessed that at training with you. You know, you certainly don't take anything for granted. Always in there prepping, doing all your stretches, training hard. Actually, one thing I did notice about you, you're always staying back doing extras, field session and in weight. So I think, you know, very well-deserved, you know, contract. I know it doesn't guarantee anything, but I'm sure you'll definitely make the most of that as well.
No, thanks for that, bro. Thank you.
Dil, to wrap up, there are some rapid fire questions.
When I read that, I was like, okay, I wonder what this is going to be like.
No, they're not anything too serious, but thought it'd just be a little bit of fun
at the end.
So
yeah, all good.
Not too serious.
Why you look at me like that? Why you stare at me?
Okay. Do you have a favorite quote, saying, or a way to live life? I know you said you don't want to take anything for granted, but is there a specific quote that you like?
Oh, so my mom told me a quote that I've tattooed on my arm. Ko tonga mo unga ki he loto, which she told me is, because there's no mountain in Tonga. So she said the biggest mountain is in your heart, you know, is inside you. And that saying is like, you know, your biggest obstacle is yourself. And when my mum told me that when I was a bit younger, I was sort of like, oh, I knew what it meant, but I didn't really think it sunk in like it did when I was older. And it actually meant a lot to me when I was teaching the kids at the school at Waterford. I was trying to think of, you know, what are some things that I can sort of teach these kids to be better. And I remember, and I was like, oh man, like my mom told me this, and I was like, this is something I'm going to pass on. They actually said in Tongan as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't translate it. It was in Tongan.
Yeah,
it's
I
meant
love
to
that.
Be rapid.
No, that's right, man. Rapid means different to everyone.
it's different in Tongan.
If you're an animal, what would you be and why?
My old coach used to call me the liger. So it was Dala and Tiger mixed together.
Yeah.
But
did you associate with that?
No. I don't know. I'd say like I'd like to say an eagle.
Yeah.
Just I'd like to feel free, fly around. You know, you didn't really have to worry about much. You're the top of like the pecking order when it comes to, you know, birds. So
yeah,
probably an eagle.
Free spirit.
Free spirit.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite sports person?
Oh, sports person. I'll stick with rugby league, and I'd say Greg Inglis. He's just a freak.
100% agree with that. I felt he's
aside from you, obviously.
Yeah, thanks, man. I felt GI's friend a couple of times. I can still feel it now. If there were three people you'd invite to dinner, who would they be and why?
Do they have to be alive or no?
Anyone, alive or
Michael Jackson.
Yep.
Obviously the shirt. I just loved him when I was younger. I like to say Roger Federer. Seems like a really down-to-earth bloke, you know what I mean? Like, and he's a freak tennis player. And obviously, maybe, I don't know, someone like Leonardo DiCaprio or something like that. Like an actor.
Yeah.
Or maybe Dwayne. Oh, Kevin Hart. I'll say Kevin Hart. Just because he'd be funny.
Yeah.
I don't have to really think about anything. Just let him talk and laugh about it.
What's your favorite meal?
Mexican, yeah.
Nice.
I was like, do I go further? I mean, I was like, is it going to be rapid? But then it hasn't been rapid, so I don't know why I gave a one-worded answer.
That's all right, man. We'll keep going.
Awesome.
Okay, is there anything you say to yourself before running out for a game on it? You know, for a Q Cup game or NRL game?
Yeah. Well, I always have my Matt Bellin does a pretty good job with us. So he tries to give us two goals, an attack and defense. And I try and have that. I try and have those two goals in mind because I try not complicate things and everything else. I hope that everything else comes naturally and as a habit that I've always done in NRL Queensland Cup. But then those four focus areas, I try and, you know, make sure that I think about, and even if it's like a one worded thing, you know, so, there would be times where I try to, you know, I'd always defend Katoni Staggs, in preseason. And, I was getting across the front of him a lot. So talking to Matt Bellin and Cardi, he goes, try and stay on his inside shoulder and go up square. You know, try and go a bit more square so you don't have to go in front of him. So then, like, I'd say stay square, like just something like that, just to remind myself the whole time. It's not really one certain thing that's like a ritual for me. It's more
just a couple of reminders.
Yeah, a couple of reminders, and it's always situational on, like, what I want to do.
Yeah.
So just
depending on that game.
Depending on the game and who I'm playing, everyone's different, you know what I mean?
For sure. I think, you know, one of mine was just run hard. That normally set the tone.
Yeah.
There's always that fear of getting hurt, but I found that running hard more often than not, you actually came out on top. So
on top,
yeah.
They would get hurt, not you.
Yeah, you still get whacked, but the next time it's not as bad.
Yeah, and that's what I thought of when I actually played you the first time in 2017. When I was at Norse, I'm like, this guy's just going to run straight at me. I was like, and if he gets on my outside, just try and chop his legs because he's fast. And then you ended up going to Super League after that.
Yeah, that was a Norse game.
Yeah, it was like, it was, I think it was 2-0. Or there was no try scored before the second half. And then the second half, someone scored. And I think we only ended up getting 2 points. But the reason why I remembered it is because I played against you. You were left centre.
Yeah, that's a...
You're freak.
Long time ago now, but my only recollection of the day, I do remember playing against you, but it was hot.
Mm.
And some of those games when it's real hot, they stick to you more than...
Yeah.
That's the memory you have, how hot it was and how muggy it was.
I remember weird stuff like that. And I remember that game, you got a needle on your rib.
That's right. Yeah.
Because I squeezed you in a tackle, and you get. Ugh. I was like, oh, sorry, because I was like, this guy's a freak. I mean, I didn't, you know, I had help with other players.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, try and like, you know, hurt him so he knows I'm here. Squeezing, you went. Ugh. I was like, oh, sorry. You're like straight away, sorry. And you're like, nah, I got an injection. I was like, sweet.
That's a good tip, actually.
Still carved up.
Yeah, I might start. Thanks, man. I might start bringing that up. What players say to each other in tackles and that. So next podcast.
Yeah, I don't really talk much anymore.
Yeah,
got myself in trouble with the refs a few times.
Yeah, don't talk to the refs, kids. Leave them out of your game. last final one. If there was a billboard on your way to work every morning, what picture would you like to see, or what saying would you like to see on that billboard?
I know, just something positive. You know what I mean? Like, on your way to work, you could have had a bad start to your day, and then you drive past, there's something that's going to make you smile, something positive. You know, that can change the rest of your day. So
we'll go with something positive.
Yeah, something positive. I can't think of anything.
The two words, something positive, or on the billboard.
Just positive.
Just positive. I like that. You know what? The guest before, Annalisa, before you, she said smile. So,
oh, yeah. I was thinking of smile. I swear. I was going to say smile.
You know what? That would have been outstanding if you said that. But I mean, it's in line with it. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Being positive.
Del, it's been great having you on the podcast. You know, but before we finish up, I do like to have the guest, you know, recommend something that they're doing, or have you run a business? Or is it something that you recommend, a plug?
A plug.
That you want to give a shout out to?
Nah, not really a company or anything like that. More to you. Yeah. A shout out to you.
Oh, thanks, man. Just, I thought you had, it's did, more, didn't you have some shirts or something that you sell?
nah, no shirts. It was more a shout out to you. Like, you're doing a great job, you know, and you've gone from not really knowing what you're meant to do. After talking to you, now I'm doing a podcast with you, and you sort of know the direction you're going to, and it's all positive, you know, mindset, being a better person, having all these positive messages, and, you know, a lot of things need to come together for a massive change to the way people perceive mental health and, you know, stuff like that. But you're helping that, you're making it better. So yeah, just a shout out to you and how you're going. Like, I'm happy for you, and I'm, you know, proud and always looked up to you as a player. So yeah, just a shout out to you. You're doing a great job, and, you know, I'm sure it'll all go the way that you want it.
Del, if you're next to me, I'd give you a big hug. Thanks for being on the podcast, man. I appreciate the rap. It's a very nice thing, but, you know, you're a great person, and I'm sure we'll catch up for many more coffees, and I don't know about saunas, but maybe down the track, you know, I'm not at Bronx anymore, so.
You might have to get your own one.
Yeah, I might have to get my own one, but thanks, bro.
Nah, thanks to me.
Thank you.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.